At the top of the program, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder has tapped the state's top financial and insurance regulator to become its next treasurer. Kevin Clinton assumes his new position on November 1st. Until then, Commissioner Clinton will work alongside outgoing Treasurer Andy Dillon, who announced his resignation last week. Mr. Clinton becomes responsible for overseeing the collection and management of billions of dollars in state funds and the financial health of its cities and school districts, most notably the city of Detroit. We welcome Kevin Clinton back to Current State.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Thanks for joining us, Kevin. We appreciate it a lot. What do you expect will be the focus of your energies, at least in the opening weeks at your new position?
Well, I think initially I'm going to go meet with legislators. I'm going to go meet with people over the Treasury, you know, find out what the issues are, you know, get caught up to speed on them. And I'm going to be meeting a lot with Andy Dillon, especially in the next 2 weeks. We have a transition period there. And I met with him yesterday, and I'm looking forward to meeting with him over the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Free Press reported that you said yesterday you want to work on a financial model that could help avoid the need for emergency managers in Michigan. Can you flesh that out any more for us?
Yes, if we can spot financial problems ahead of time, so we're not just walking into a municipality or school district and saying, hey, you know, you guys have financial problems, we're going to name an emergency manager. If we can predict this maybe 5 years out or even longer, then the municipalities can take the steps necessary to maybe to shore up their finances, so there's no need to put an emergency manager in.
Hmm. How much work is involved in that longer range model?
Well, quite a bit. I mean, this will be a complicated model that can be put together by actuaries, and there may be some off the shelf products on there that I just don't know about yet. But we're going to look at that. I'd rather do it ahead of time and take the steps necessary to stop it from occurring than you know, having to go in there. That's disrupting to the city. It's disrupting to the citizens.
Some key legislative leaders, including Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville, appear to be quite receptive to your appointment, but I notice one legislator issued a very pointed call for change. Again, the Free Press quoted Senator Jack Brandenburg of Harrison Township, who claimed that Treasury has become, quote, polarized and dysfunctional in my book. They do nothing but terrorize small business people. They have 1,300 to 1,400 employees who have been doing things their way for the last couple of decades, and that has to change now. What do you make of the senator's comments?
Well, I read exactly what you read this morning, and I gave him a call, and I have a meeting set up with him this afternoon. So I'll find out what's on his mind.
I mean, are you aware enough of the operations of the Treasury Department to think that he has a point, though?
I've been given updates, and I'm gonna. I really want, before I comment on that, I really want to find out from the senator exactly what his issues are.
Okay.
And I'm meeting with other people on the tax committees.
You're taking over as treasurer on the eve of a possible national debt default, and as we enter the third week of a partial federal government shutdown. Do you have a sense of how this could affect Michigan in the near future if this continues?
Well, I'm just concerned, you know, because we have worked as a state. You know, the governor and John Nixon have worked very hard to get our bond ratings up, and they have. We've gone from a stable condition to a positive outlook, which means we pay lower interest rates. You know, the higher your rating is, the lower interest rates you have to pay because we're considered more secure. So they've done a wonderful job, and I would just hate a federal shutdown to in any way harm that.
We are talking with incoming State Treasurer Kevin Clinton this morning on Current State. Putting on your insurance commissioner's hat for just a minute, where are we with auto no-fault insurance reform? Do you expect a bill to be put forth in the foreseeable future?
I'm very hopeful. The Speaker has gotten interested in this. I think it's on the governor's top list. We are talking to, you know, the providers, the hospitals, and the doctors who are affected by this, and I'm very hopeful we can get something on the board there.
Now, will your departure as director of the Department of Insurance and Financial Services affect that process?
I don't think so. First of all, I am available to come and assist at any time, despite my new position. But our new director, Ann Flood, is fully up to speed. She's been here 2.5 years, and she certainly can take the torch and run with it.
Are you excited about this challenge?
Yes, I enjoy challenges.
Okay. In a study released a couple days ago, the nonpartisan Citizens Research Council of Michigan suggests the state could lower auto insurance premiums without major changes to the no-fault system. The study cited factors like the auto insurance industry's inability to negotiate lower medical payments or implement cost controls, as well as shifting the primary responsibility onto health insurance providers. What's your take on that study's findings?
I first of all, I agree with most of the results of that finding, which is the citizens of Michigan, when we pay, you know, the medical bills due to an auto accident, you're paying way more than you need to. If you get your Blue Cross bill, for instance, and you're using a health insurance, you see maybe a charge from your doctor, $100, a discount of $60, and then you pay, or the Blue Cross paid $40, and you owe nothing. Well, they get a 60% discount off what they call the charge master file, the sticker price. They get a big discount. Auto insurers don't get that. So you're paying full freight. You're paying full sticker price if you're on the auto. I'll give you an example. I had a friend who was hit by a car. He was riding his bike. So his bill was paid for by his health insurer, and the bill amounted to about $8,300. Now, this is a person that walked into the emergency room and walked out. It was $8,300. So we took his bill with his permission and gave it to the auto carrier that he has and said, how much would you have paid on this? And they had all the codes, and it was over $19,000. So it's significant. And I equate this to, but and when I said I agree with most of it, I still think we need additional changes in this. I think we need, you know, limits on attendant care. I think we need some fraud package bills. And I think we need some limits, because I equate this to, you know, if an individual hires a landscaper to come into their house and they say, you know, we want, why don't you fix my house, do some landscaping? You can charge me twice as much as you charge your other clients. You can determine what needs to be done, and I don't have a budget. You know, you'd pay a phenomenal amount. Nobody would do that with their personal finances, but with auto, that's kind of what it is. We don't have a limit. The doctor determines how much care has to be taken care of, and they charge twice as much as they do the health insurers.
What would a sensible limit on a claim be?
Well, right now, if you're you have medical bills, everybody's being required to or pay a penalty by health insurance effective January 1st with no pre-existing condition and no limits. So why not have your health insurance cover the majority of it, especially when these health insurers are getting much larger discounts than the auto insurers can?
Tell us about your successor at Insurance and Financial Services.
Well, I think we've had some great successes. I think number one is we negotiated. We were primarily the negotiator on the Blue Cross bill, and this is going to be good for citizens of the state. They are now going to be a mutual company instead of a creation of statute. They're going to contribute over the next 20 years not only $1.5 billion toward health and wellness fund in the state of Michigan, but probably roughly $3 billion in additional taxes to municipalities and the state that they're tax exempt from right now. So I think that's a positive for Michiganders. I think they're going to compete and create jobs. The other thing, I think the Affordable Care Act, I think we have done as much as we can on that moving forward. And we've been very successful where the federal government has not. We have a federal exchange here, but our department does quite a bit in assisting consumers, helping them understand. We have a rate calculator that you can go to and determine what your rates are going to be, or give you a range of what your rates can be. Unfortunately, the federal government website is not working very well right now.
Actually, what I meant by that question was your successor. Tell us a little bit. That was still really informative. I appreciate the information, but tell us a little bit about Ann Flood.
She has been chief deputy here for about 2.5 years. She comes with about 25 years of insurance experience. She has been chief operating officer at a couple of different companies. She is not only an attorney, but she's a registered nurse, which I think gives a real good background, not only the legal side, but the medical side of health insurance. So she comes with a great deal of, you know, good education. She comes with a lot of experience in the industry and comes with experience in regulation. So I think a very good choice.
Very good. Kevin Clinton, congratulations on your new appointment. We appreciate making yourself available here on the first morning after this announcement, and we wish you the best of luck.
Great. Thank you very much.